One of the keys to a long, healthy life is not getting sick to begin with. That means catching the warning signs before it's too late. Take breast cancer. If detected in stages 0 or 1, the estimated survival rate is nearly 100%. That's the power of preventive medicine and why Kaiser Permanente is number one in breast cancer screenings. With better prevention comes better detection, which means better outcomes. And that's pretty big stuff. Kaiser Permanente. Rise and thrive. Visit kp.org.
I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Sasha Legault, on Moving Mountains with Sasha. Today, we're going to enter the world of suspense and thriller and pick the brain of author Wendy Hinvest, whose book, Masquerade of Lies, is out. Wendy is author, but also author of 5 children's books and recently released a found mystery thriller novel, Masquerade of Lies. She's currently working on her next novel, Sin of Darkness. And we have Wendy here live. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, but thank you for joining us today. So as a writer, the audience is curious of how did you get introduced to the journey of writing and now sharing your stories and your creativity with the world?
Well, what happened was in 2009, after I had our second child, I didn't want to go back to work, so I wanted to stay home with them. So I decided maybe I can start writing. In the beginning, it began as a way to generate income. But then after, when I started writing it, I realized how much I enjoyed it. I started writing the Frizzy Tizzy series. It was based, the book was based on my child, now my children. And eventually, I came to write Masquerade of Lies. But it all started with the children's series.
Did you write as a student while growing up?
No, I didn't write as a student. It was interesting because I never, even when I was in college, I never saw myself as a writer. I never thought that I would ever write. I hated English class. It's ironic. But as soon as I started writing the 50-50 series, I actually realized how much I enjoyed it. But it wasn't until I started writing young adult was when I really got interested in writing. Like, young adult is definitely my genre. I enjoy it very much.
Compared to writing for children's books, do you feel that teen fiction is easier to write, not only because it's your passion, but that there's more availability of topics and themes to work with?
Yes, I find it, well, it's easier and it's harder. It's easier to write in the sense where it's something I enjoy. Like, I enjoy watching young adult shows, I enjoy reading young adult novels. So the issues and everything, I find it easy to write on those type of issues. But it can be difficult because you have to, like, make, like, it's a novel. It's so different than writing a kid's picture book. You have to actually make sure everything makes sense, right, from the very beginning to the very end. So it's harder in that sense, but it's more interesting in the other sense. Know what I mean?
Yes, you touched upon something I was going to bring up, that as a writer, when you come up, and you mentioned that things have to make sense from beginning to end, or do you happen to be one of those authors who comes up with the outline of the entire book and then you start writing, or do you start writing and let the book take a life of its own?
A little bit of both. What I'll do is I'll make a rough outline. I'll just basically state the characters, like a piece of paper. I'll write down, like, the main characters, secondary characters, the main plot, main theme, and then little things that might happen in the book. And then I'll start with that. And then I'll just write. And then eventually things will pop in my head, and I'll be like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay, well, that makes sense. So, well, this scene will look better if I do this kind of thing." So I do kind of like a little bit of both. I start with an outline, but then I kind of just go with the flow as I'm writing.
Well, the wonderful thing about writing fiction is that the sky's the limit. So when you're mm-hmm. bouncing off ideas, are there people or friends that you run by some of the storylines, and then they tell you, okay, this is outrageous, or this is realistic?
Yes, my niece, well, in the beginning, when I wrote the first draft, what I did was I got a beta reader, because it's good to have second eyes look at the book, because, I mean, I'm so glad I did, because there's so many things that she found that I didn't see, and there's so many ideas that she realized that I didn't realize. So it made my book even better. And then once I was done with the beta reader, once she read it, and she read it over a few times to me, actually. She's awesome. And afterwards, I asked my niece, my niece is 20 years old. She's actually a young adult. So I said, I went, "Rhiannon, you know, can I bounce some ideas off you? Does this make sense? Does this make sense?" And she's like, no, this doesn't make sense. You know, or change this, or change that. And then my cousin as well, she's like 26 or 27, and she actually read the book, the first draft, and she actually said, there's a couple of things, you know, you should change that, because that doesn't make sense, and a teenager wouldn't say that or wouldn't do that. So that was a very important process of the writing, is getting it edited. Very, very important. Like, and I'm so glad that I had people in that age group that I can go to say, "Can I bounce this off you? Could you read? Would you mind reading my book just to see if this makes sense or that makes sense?" And because it made my book so much better. It's so much better than the first draft. Definitely.
That is one thing I often hear from writers, is that there's no such thing as a great writer. There's a great rewriter, and we keep on writing and writing until we get to the finished product. Now, by focusing on teenagers, of course the teenagers of today have many more resources and probably more challenges with the complexities of life compared to when we were teenagers. Do you do any research other than bouncing off your niece and your cousin these ideas? Or where do you get that spicy drama and that inspiration that you include in your book?
Well, like I said, I watch a lot of shows. I watch, like, even growing up, I grew up watching Degrassi Junior High, and I watch a lot of the shows that I watch, like, for example, Pretty Little Liars, that they're based on young adults, and, like, all the shows I watch, Meryl's Place, Beverly Hills, those are the shows that really interest me. So I get a lot of inspiration from that, and then, like I said, just from people that I talk to. And plus, I mean, I was in college once, so, I mean, I just kind of, all these ideas just kind of pop in my head. Sometimes I'll just, like, be watching TV, or I'll just be, like, I don't know, something will happen to me when I'm out shopping or something, and I'm like, oh, an idea just pops in my head. I'm like, oh, I should write a book about that, or I should add that to my book kind of thing. So that's basically how it works for me.
That's great that you bring life experiences and inspiration into what you're sharing with the world. You're also a mother. So how does being a mother make you a better author?
How does being a mother make me a better author? That's a very good question. I guess patience. When you're a mother, you have to have patience. And that's one thing that I've had challenges with, because, I mean, it's very difficult to write a book when you're at home with your children. So I've had to kind of balance that, you know, with being with them and trying to find time out to, even if it's like half an hour here or half an hour there, or 15 minutes here or 10 minutes there to write, it's made me a more patient person to eventually, you know, that I can't get the book done when I want to. I can't write when I want to, so I have to write whenever I get a chance to, kind of thing, you know. I think that's the main thing. That's probably the best way I can explain it, where it's made, being a mother has made me a better writer, where it's given me the opportunity to be more patient with my writing.
Now, focusing on Masquerade of Lies, it's been out for a while, and I noticed that the characters are facing different types of complexity and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about creating these characters? If you could introduce us to the world of character development for writers who are new and they're learning. So you are a seasoned writer. What guidance would you have for those newcomers who are trying to develop a character and bring it to life?
I just basically based it on my daughter is screaming my name. I apologize. She's distracting me.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Anyways, she screams, mommy, she's like distracting me. I'm sorry. Basically, like I said, it's basically people that I've known in college growing up, people that I talk to, shows that I've watched, movies that I've watched, that I've become very interested in, I've just kind of gotten ideas. For example, my favorite author is Sarah Shepard. I read all of her books. I'm reading her book called Perfectionist right now. She's an amazing writer. She's actually the creator of Pretty Little Liars, one of my favorite shows on the universe. And I get a lot of my ideas, some of my ideas from her, because the way that she develops her characters, like, I don't know, that's basically, does that make sense?
Yes. Speaking of writing thrillers, how do you balance the expectation of reaching, how do you decide when you want to reach the climax in the book? Because when you're reading a thriller, as a reader, or if you're watching a movie, everyone feels as they're coming close to figuring out what the suspense or mystery is. But every time you have to kind of back off because they need to finish reading the second half of the book. Going back to the question would be, when you're writing a thriller, do you know ahead of time at what point the book will climax before it reaches its conclusion?
Yeah, I have an idea. Like when I was writing Masquerade of Lies, the book is basically about a murder. Hannah Clark is the main character. She and her mother and her parents get divorced, and her mother move to a small, moving from a small town to a bigger city. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And basically, she goes to a new school, she meets friends, and a murder takes place. And she becomes the prime suspect of that murder. So when I was writing the book, when I came up with the idea for the book, I knew writing the book where the climax was going to be. Like, you know, when the murder was going to happen, and who the suspects are going to be. And each chapter, I try to end each chapter with like a little bit of suspense, kind of want to make the reader wanting more. So when they read the next chapter, they're like, "Oh, what's going to happen?" And they want to read the next chapter. So when I was writing this book, I tried to end each chapter with a little bit of suspense. You know what I mean? Just so kind of like a hint of, okay, I have to find out what's going to happen, so I want to read the next chapter. And then I knew while I was writing it, when the climax was going to be, when you're going to find out who the killer was, and, you know, what was going to happen to Hannah, kind of thing. So, yeah, that's basically how I do it.
So in the book, Sin of Darkness, you're still working on it, correct?
Yeah, I'm basically done the outline. I haven't actually started writing the book yet, but I've done the outline.
So it seems there's a lot of stories and the Masquerade of Lies and Darkness. What made you gravitate towards the world of suspense? Not everything has to be dark for everybody out there listening. There's a lot of light that comes in the world of mystery.
Of course.
What got
definitely.
You into that other than the shows and the books that you used to read while growing up? Because as an adult, as also being a mom, are there your children's friends and their moms that question your creativity? Just to learn more about you, because that's very fascinating to be running a household, having five beautiful children, and at the same time you're coming up with all of these creative stories that you're going to put on paper.
I've always been interested in dark movies, like thrillers and horrors. Like, I love horror movies. And I've always been, even those shows, I know you said not just about the shows, but that's basically, like, even those like murder shows, like anything that has to do with like I can't remember the name of the shows right now, but like when a spouse gets murdered, it's like and they're all reality shows, like these people that have really murdered their spouse. Those things fascinate me. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not a murderer or anything, but I always find those things fascinating, and I just thought, you know, that's basically, I should go with my passion. Like, I'm not gonna write romance books because I'm not really. I mean, I like romance, but I don't read romance books. I'm not really into romance. So I'm not gonna write books like that. But I've always been fascinated by the mind of a murderer. Like, what makes somebody commit a murder? Why would somebody take someone else's life? What makes them want to do that? You know what I mean? So, like, I've always been fascinated by that. So I figured those are the kind of books I want to write. And I've always been fascinated by suspense. I'm the kind of person, I've always, even reading or watching a movie or watching a show, I always want to know. I want the suspense. I want to know what's going to happen. I like to be scared. I like to be nervous when I watch a show. Like, I like to be scared when I watch a movie. I want to jump out of my seat. So those are the kind of books that I like to read, that I like to write. And it is funny because I do have five children, ages from 1 to 9. So I do have small children, and I would never ever, like, my kids don't read my books, obviously. I mean, the first books that I've written, the children's book, those books they read and they like. But I would never let them read this book because this book's really dark. So it is funny that I write this book and I have five children. But it's just, I don't know, to me it's like another world. You know, that's one thing I love about writing this book is, like, I get to be my own little world. And, you know, like, I'm a mom first, a mom and wife, and my kids are, I mean, everything in the world to me, and they come first, and I do everything in the world for them. But then when I write my book, it's my time. It's just mommy's time to, like, get into my world of murder and mystery and suspense and build my characters. And, like, so, like, I feel like sometimes, most like when I write, I feel like I'm in the book and I'm actually experiencing everything with them. And it's so fascinating for me. You know what I mean? So that's basically, I hope that answers your question, but that's basically the only way I know how to answer it.
Human behavior is fascinating. In college, did you study psychology?
Yes, I did. I actually went to school for, I took early childhood education. Actually, it's funny you ask that because I love psychology. I loved it in school. And I took early childhood education. Psychology was a few of the courses I had to take, and I loved it. And then when I graduated, that's one reason why I started writing children's books, because I took early childhood education. So I had that education behind me. And then I went to university a couple years ago. Just, I was going to go back to be a teacher, but then I decided to have another child instead. So that, I decided to put that to rest. I went to real estate instead, because real estate's more realistic for me, because I can do my own schedule. But anyway, so I went back to university, and I took psychology again. And yeah, I love psychology. I love the study of the human mind and what makes a person do these things? What makes a person want to kill somebody else? And, you know, and sometimes it's premeditated. What makes a person want to actually carry out these things and have these thoughts? And those kind of things just fascinate me. You know, maybe I should have been a psychologist. You know, I love stuff like this, you know? So this is why these kind of books fascinate me. Like, I like writing dark mystery and thriller books because, you know, these kind of things just interest me.
I think you would make a great psychologist because you can obviously comprise the right questions, because when you put in so much time writing, not only the story and developing these people that come to life, people get intrigued by what makes them tick day to day. But also, since Sasha Tusk focuses on spirituality and self-development, these are a few questions for you. We would like to know, while growing up, who was and who is your role model?
My dad. I love my father very much. I mean, I love my mother too, but my father and I have always had a very close relationship. I've always been very close and very comfortable with my dad, and I think he's the greatest man in the world, and, you know, worked really hard, took care of his family, and he'll always be one of the most important people in the world to me. So, yeah, if I had to pick just one person, I would say my father.
And what are some of the values and principles that he instilled in you that you're sharing with your children today?
Let's see. Patience. my father was a very patient man, and I've learned to be patient with my own children. I have morals. I feel I have morals. My father has morals. I feel like I have morals. And my husband and I grew up our children to have morals. My father's religious. He believes very much in Jesus Christ, as do I and my husband. We're Christian, and we're growing up our children to be, we're all Christian. You know, our children go to, they have a program called Quest. I go to every Tuesday, and every Sunday we go to church. And, you know, our children know that. I don't want to get too much into it, because not everybody is a Christian. But I'm just saying that that's one thing my father instilled in me, and that's one thing that my husband and I instill in our children, that, you know, Jesus Christ is alive, and we believe in him. And I guess those are the main things. I mean, respect. My father has the utmost respect for everybody, especially his family, friends, but for everybody. And I have a lot of respect for other people, you know, and we make sure our children know they have to respect others, especially their elders. So that's the way I grew up. And that's the way that we're growing up, that we're bringing up our children.
It seems we have such a great core foundation at home that it's really important for everybody to find ways to remain grounded. Now, transitioning to some career advice, for those that are interested in writing in the audience, but they're sitting on the fence and they don't know how to go about it, in your opinion, what makes a good writer?
Excuse me. In my opinion, you have to have creativity. I think in order to write a book, you have to have patience, first of all, because writing, okay, number one thing, I know I keep repeating this word, but it's a big word for me, and I think patience is key, because this book took me about 2 years to write. I probably would have taken me less time had I not had children, so I think you have to have patience to actually, you know, and dedication. You have to have dedication. You have to dedicate yourself to writing, to sitting down, even if it's like 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, sitting down and dedicating yourself to writing this book and finishing it. So if you dedicate yourself and you have the patience to do that, and also creativity. If you don't, like, you have to have a good imagination. You have to imagine your characters, bring your characters to life, make your characters realistic, come up with stories for a story behind each character. I think those things make great writers. And also an editor. You have to know basically how to self-edit your book. I mean, it's very important to get it edited, obviously, but you have to know how to at least, like, read over a few times and self-edit it first. And then once you've done that, then you hand it over to an editor to get it checked again. I think those things make a good writer, in my opinion.
Well said, because I know you write fiction, I write nonfiction, and it is a lot of discipline, and as your favorite word, patience.
Yes. Yes.
And you mentioned one thing that I think a lot of people overlook is it is important to self-edit, that you don't lose your voice and your tone in
yes.
the story or the message you're sending out,
yes.
because some people think, I could write a book and I could just give it to a stranger and they're going to make it look pretty. And that is a really dangerous thing to do, because
yes,
what you wrote and what somebody will be reading in the market will be much different.
Exactly.
As we move along, are there other projects outside of Sin of Darkness that you are planning to roll out in the future?
Well, I'm going to focus on, because I started writing kids' books, and I don't want to lose that, but I'm not going to write children's books anymore, but what I am going to write, I decided to start writing middle grade books. So what I'm going to do is, so I have two websites. I have this website, which is himbestbooks.com, which is for all my young adult fiction, and then I have frizzytizzy.com for my kids' books, and I haven't started writing it yet, but it's called Cross My Heart Not to Tell. It's going to be a middle grade book, a novella, about kids in middle grade who basically, it's going to be kind of like a thriller, but it's going to be not as thrillerish because it's for middle grade, so it's going to be a little, obviously, appropriate for their age. But it's going to be about kids who are basically, they tell each other secrets and they swear not to tell anybody else, and then all of a sudden those secrets start coming about and things start happening. And I haven't started writing it yet, but I have the idea in my head, and I have it written down, so I know what I'm going to write. But I'm going to also write middle grade books. I'm going to post those books on my Fifth of Tizzy website. So I'm going to have two websites going, one for young adult and one for middle grade books.
And as you focus on those two groups, how do you balance the responsibility that comes with a writer, to what degree, what topics you feel are appropriate for I know you're a mom, but appropriate for that audience, because, for example, in Masquerade of Lies, the main character happens to have a history of self-mutilation. Now, a lot of us who live in reality, we know that it exists. It is a it's not a phenomena. It's a reality that some people take out their pain in many different ways. Mm-hmm. Do you research those things, or do you just relay it as it comes to you?
No, I research them. I research everything to make sure that everything I write is appropriate. Like when I was writing this book, even Young, A Masquerade of Lies, I researched it to make sure that even, because there is one, I'm not going to say kind of a sex scene in Masquerade of Lies, but I did research to make sure that the sex scene that I wrote was appropriate for the age group that I'm writing for. Because it's my, the age group, this book is basically about 14 to about 19, maybe 20. So 14-year-olds reading this book, I'm not going to like, it's not like a, you know, like a sex book. So I'm not going to write a sex scene that, you know, for 14-year-olds. So I did a lot of it to make sure that I wrote it properly, to make sure that it was appropriate. And so interesting to even the older age, you know what I mean? So for your middle grade book, yes, I've done a lot of research onto what's appropriate, what the appropriate language, what's appropriate in terms of scenes, of like, you know, I mean, there's not going to be any murder scenes, because I mean, I don't think, if there was any murder, I would make sure I researched it to make sure there was nothing inappropriate in the book, because it has to be appropriate for that age group. Like middle grade is like what, 13, like 11 to 13, grade 6 to 8, so I'm not going to write like sex scenes and, you know, mutilation in a middle grade book. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of research. Like I did a lot of research in Masquerade of Lies. I researched a lot of things on the net, a lot of things, even a lot of the like the scenes for the police scenes, and 90% of the things I wrote in my book, I researched before I wrote it to make sure that I'm that it makes sense. Because the one thing about my book is that it touches base on realistic issues. That's one of the things I can say about my book, why I think a lot of teenagers would enjoy my book. It's not like pretend things. Like these things that I wrote about are things that, like you said before, things that like mutilation really happens. All the issues in my book, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, self-mutilation, all these things, divorce, bullying, all these things are in my book, and all these things really exist. Teenagers go through these things every day. So I think a lot of teenagers would enjoy my book for that reason alone, that they can actually relate to them, to the things in my book, the issues in my book. You know what I mean? I probably answered more than one question. Sorry.
Thank you for going in depth, because sometimes people wonder when they're reading a book and they judge right off the bat, saying, well, this is such a strong, controversial behavior or issue. The author's just throwing it out, and I wanted the audience to understand that by looking at your work and your presentation deliveries, it seems that I did figure that you probably do the research, and there's a backstory to it before it makes it in print. Because you've shared a little bit about different aspects of your life, and we don't want to pull any more secrets from you, people should go to hinvestbooks.com, the Mendu's website, contact her books will be available through all of the social media on Sasha Talks and the platforms. Links will be coming out in about 24 hours. And before we part, Wendy, do you have any final message for the audience and where they could reach you?
For all those writers out there who want to write a book, don't give up. It's maybe a long journey, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I was very stressed out, and, you know, took me forever to write this book, but when I was done, I felt so, like, good about myself. And so don't give up. Don't give up. And a good message in my book is don't be too trusting of other people. That's one of the messages I want people to get when they read my book, is not to be too trusting of other people, because this book is about lies. So I want people, teenagers specifically, you know, don't, like, believe everything you hear from other people. Keep your eyes and ears open.
And I love that theme, Wendy, because as adults, we also have to follow that.
Yes.
Go on.
And what was the other question? Where can you reach me? You can reach me at hinvestbooks.com. That's my website. And you can also email me at whimbest@gmail.com. You can reach me there anytime. And I return messages like right away. And I'm also on Twitter.
Okay.
And I'm on Google+. And I'm on LinkedIn. Just Google my name. Just look for my name, Wendy Himbest, and you'll find me.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us, Wendy. I want to thank the audience for having a wonderful rest of the week. Thank you.
For having me.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older.
Uh-oh. Your throat's feeling a little sore. You're not getting sick, are you? You can't get sick. You don't have time to get sick. Oh boy, you're getting sick. And while there's nothing easy about that, at Kaiser Permanente, we make it easy to get the care you need. Access your health anytime with our award-winning mobile app, or get one-on-one help with our medical advice line. You can even email your doctor to get help faster. Because when you feel like this, help can't come soon enough. Kaiser Permanente, rise and thrive. Visit kp.org.